kind of low. Yeah, that's because it's a new behavior. I would suggest maybe picking one of the three. Maybe tell your spouse or tell yourself, I'm going to work on that this week. So, like, let's say I'm going to make at least 10, 15 overt underlying positive comments to my spouse next week, see how it goes, see what my batting average looks like, something like that. You could do that. Or next time we have a hot topic, I'm going to say, let's schedule that. Let's really schedule that around. That sounds really important. I really want to get to it. Or try empathy maybe with a less urgent topic just to kind of learn the skill. Try it that way. Another way to go, though, this is real money if you really feel up to it, is say to your spouse, which of the three would you like me to improve on? The good thing about that, even if you fail or don't do as well as you want, it shows that you're doing it really to help him or her. That's the most important thing. But either way, these are real, I can just tell you, as a marriage therapist, these are go-to things you got to get to real fast. And I can say this, if you have a real dysfunctional marriage, I'm sure nobody here does, you wouldn't be here, but if you had a real dysfunctional marriage, or you wouldn't laugh or something, but if you have a real dysfunctional marriage, all three of these are kind of things that have to be put on the table, have to become part of the repertoire to repair. So it's just good to be good at them, because life has its own challenges. So you guys are great. Why don't you give yourselves a round of applause? There you go. I'm just going to give one last talk here, and I don't think I'll go the whole time, which you'll probably be pleased to hear. About kind of some unique issues these days that we want to think about in terms of marriage and married life and strengthening the bond of the parents or the husband and wife and things like that with the kids. And The issue now, I think, that's kind of gotten more exacerbated, probably will get worse, is the notion that so many of our interactions are what we would call transactional. So let's imagine you got to go to 7-Eleven and pick up whatever, cold pills, because kids are sniffling. So you go there, you walk in, you know what you want, you hunt, you get it, you go up to the counter, and the whole thing is set up, clearly understood. The only that question is, you're going to pay cash or credit card, how are you doing, that's all I need, fine, boom, boom. See you later, alligator, bye, and you're off. That's appropriate for 7-Eleven, though even there you could say to this guy making minimum wage or gal, say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Well, you could do that. But that's a normal transaction. You buy from Amazon, it's click, 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 boom. It's a way to get somebody to visit you. Hours later, someone's knocking your door, Amazon Prime, and giving you stuff. So so many things now are like that. And nothing wrong with those things, those transactions. But what's happening is almost all encounters, almost all exchanges now are being like that, where you have information I want, let's talk about it or whatever, you give me what I want, thank you very much, see you later, alligator. This is very common at work. Don't bug me, don't want any meetings that go too long, don't want this, I just want to kind of go get stuff, move on. Send me an email highlighting the four things. I'll read it and comment. Now, again, there's nothing inherently wrong with this, but if this becomes the only way you relate, it's too flat. It's too narrow. It's too horizontal. It doesn't have enough of something really important, which is this kind of interpersonal dialogue that I'm going to try to talk a little bit about here. So I guess I'm saying, maybe it's because I'm melancholic, and you know, us melancholics, we always like to talk about the world about to end or whatever, but wearing my kind of marriage therapy hat, seeing my own behavior sometimes, the way things are trending, they're trending in a real flattened way of exchange. I want it, I got it, I move on. You want it, you got it, move on. And it's really a suffering on the human dimension. So I want to talk a little bit about being aware of that, and maybe what we can do about it. Because the transactional mindset can also occur on the other side of the aisle when we get to church. I mean, don't people sometimes, and don't you, don't I do sometimes, say, yeah, I want to go to daily mass, I want to get the Eucharist, boom, I'm there, I get the Eucharist, and I say my prayers, and probably reverential stuff, and then I'm off. Or my prayers. I say my prayers, and like my father was highlighting a certain mindfulness of the rosary, which is so critical, because the rosary can be automatic. It can be totally automatic. He did actually talk about the struggle of distraction and stuff, but without the right mindset, it can be totally automatic. Holy hours can be totally automatic. Going to confession can be the same rote stuff. So there's a concern about everything being shifted down. Even getting the sacraments can be like going to 7-Eleven, standing in a long line for a loaf of bread or something. So we got to be wary of this, because it really drains so much out of our work life, but particularly out of our marriage. And I think, too, with the way our kids are growing up in a culture of real fast exchanges and shifting pages and quick decisions and everything, that the interpersonal human can be kind of lost, and I don't think marriage can survive without it. So first of all, I'm going to come up with three things